Hello, everyone. Good evening. I want to but to order the oversight meeting for the Richmond Fund for Children and Youth Oversight Board for May 3rd, 2021 at 6 o'clock. Can we have roll call?
Yes, I will now begin roll call. And if you're here, you can state present or here. Board Member Alvarado?
Present.
Present. Board Member Castro Curry?
Present.
Present. Board Member Dandy Evans?
Present.
Present. Board Member Din?
Present.
Present. Co-Chair Yana?
Present.
Present. Board Member Galloway? Absent. Board Member Hextrom?
Here.
Here. Board Member James? Absent. Co-Chair Johnson? Absent. Board Member Jones? Absent. Board Member Lee?
Present.
Present. Board Member Lobos? Absent. Board Member Kader?
Here.
Here. And Board Member Cicada?
Here. Sorry. Hold on.
Thank you. Okay. Here. And I see, Board Member Lobos. I see you just joined.
Hi.
Hello. And with that, we have enough for a quorum for our board meeting tonight.
Thank you, David. So now we will go on to agenda item B, agenda review and modifications. So do we see any modifications to the agenda? So can I get an A to approve the agenda from everyone?
A.
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 Aye.
A. Aye.
Okay, we will now go over the public comment announcement.
Yes, I will now read announcements to the public. Anyone who'd like to make an oral comment, anyone may make an oral comment even if written comment has previously been submitted. However, each speaker may only raise their hand once to make one oral public comment per agenda item. We will hold public forum very shortly, so if you'd like to speak during public forum, please raise your hand now. To comment by video conference, click on the participants button at the bottom of your screen and select the raise your hand button. To comment by phone, you will be prompted to raise your hand by pressing *9. And then for agenda items under oversight board as a whole, you may use the raise my hand feature to express your interest in providing verbal public comment throughout the item. And that is all.
Thank you. So now we will move on to item C on the agenda, and that is report from the director. Do we have a report?
Yes, good evening, everyone. LaShonda White, Director for the Department of Children and Youth. Good evening, everyone. One quick announcement that is really exciting. We want to welcome our newest board member, Devin Din. If he could wave. He is our newest board member. We're really excited. He's one of our youth board members. Really excited to have him with us here today. This is his first meeting. So welcome, Devin. And our department is also excited to, and we look forward to working with all of the board members together as we move forward in this journey together. And we have one more seat to fill, and that's it. And we will have a full board. So we'll be working with one of the council members to fill the final youth vacancy, and we'll have a full board. So we're really excited, and congratulations. And again, welcome to Devin. That's it.
Oh, thank you. So we will now move over to public comment. Do we have any public comment, David?
Yes, we have one written public comment and also as a notice. Please note that public forum is a time to address matters that are not on the agenda, and all written public comments received by 3:30 p.m. today will be read to the Oversight Board during public forum, be considered a public record, put into the record, and be considered before Oversight Board action. We will also share public comment information as supplemental materials following the meeting. So tonight we have one public comment through email, and I do not see any public comment through oral comments. So I will read the written public comment by Mr. Cordell Hendler, and it goes as follows. Hello, David. I have a couple of comments for the record. Number one, the update is that I had a conference call with the chair of the Youth Council, and we had a discussion on my projects. Number two, for the next agenda, there should be an item in regarding the retreat. Sincerely, Cordell. So that is all for written public comment, and I do not see anyone raising their hand for public comment at this time.
All right, thank you, David. So now we'll move on to item E, consent calendar. We have no items on our consent calendar. So moving over to item F, it's listening on an update on the request for the proposals, the RFP process for the fiscal year 2021-2024 grant cycle, and received the amended 2021 through 2024 RFP. So can I get a report on that?
Yes. Thank you, LaShonda White, again. And I first want to thank Patrick and David and Guadalupe, who are staff members, for support in crafting this agenda item, as well as helping us get to the place that we are today. So next slide, please. We reached out to all of our board members and others to let them know that there was an agenda item that was being placed on our city council agenda on Tuesday, April 20th, in which our city council was requesting that, or directing staff to reopen and extend the due date for grant applications for our fiscal year 21 through 24 request for proposals. So that item went before council. There was a little bit of discussion, and there's a staff report. This went on from Mayor Butt. Mayor Tom Butt placed this on the agenda. And per direction from city council, and it was a unanimous vote, I believe, that they directed us to extend the grant application deadline. And also as part of that was to amend the language around collaboration. And so a lot of the conversation that went on around this item was there was some concern about and desire for more applications to come in, especially for some of the city departments. And so wanted to make sure there wasn't a barrier per our definition of collaboration and making that happen. So that was a lot of what was going on and the reason for this direction from city council. Next slide. This is just to remind the board and those watching of what were our funding allocations and our priority areas that came out of our community engagement process, our community needs assessment, and our strategic investment plan. So here's the six priority areas, not in order of priority. And here's the estimated percentage and total for each of those different areas. And so our initial deadline was, look, staff, if you could help me, what was the initial deadline? February
22nd.
Thank you. February 22nd was our initial deadline, and we received a number of applications. I believe it was 51 applications initially, and 47, if I'm not mistaken, 48 went through the process. And we were in the midst, as many of you know, because we tried to keep our board up to date on what was happening. We were in the midst of reviewing. And so many of you had agreed to be reviewers when there needed to be a stop to that process because of the agenda item that went on the city council agenda on the 20th. Next slide. So we still have the same amount of funding available, $1.5 million. And the main part of the RFP, the guidelines, that is changed. And we do have, as part of the agenda item, a red line or track change version of the RFP for the major changes. We made some small edits just for readability, while we had an opportunity, but the main thing was around this revised definition of collaboration. So for purposes of this RFP, collaboration between entities listed in Article 15, Section 5B of the Charter, and I'm gonna next slide tell you which entities those include, and a community-based organization or CBO is defined as cooperation between the entity and the CBO that includes at least one of the following activities. So that can be that the entity and a CBO just seeks input from a community-based organization on how services should be provided to best respond to community needs. And once again, because our focus is on children, youth, and young adults, that's the need that they need to have that collaboration in terms of seeking input from that CBO. Or they actually can work together to plan and coordinate and deliver services. So the nature of the collaboration can be described in the application for funding. So there are questions embedded in the application, and we really didn't change the application much. We already had some questions in there to make sure that we could, and that those entities could clearly articulate how they were collaborating with those community-based organizations so that they could meet the language in the charter that specifies that, which is in Article 15, Section 5B. And so they can articulate that level of collaboration in the application, but they don't have to have a joint application. So what we had initially required was for those entities that were listed in Article 15, Section 5B actually needed to apply as a collaborative. And so now with this revised definition of collaboration, those entities don't have to apply under the collaborative category, they can apply as a single entity. Next slide. So here are the departments or the entities, excuse me, listed in Article 15, Section 5B. And we have the West Contra Costa Unified School District, the Richmond Libraries, Office of Neighborhood Safety, the Richmond Promise College Scholarship Program, Richmond Housing Authority, and Richmond Youth Works. So in that section, it specified in the charter that those entities, the funds, couldn't be used to support those entities except for collaboration with a community-based organization. So now we have a new revised definition, and those entities, as I stated, can apply under the collaborative category, which gives them access to more grant funds, and they have to submit a joint application, and it's more of a formal agreement, but they also can apply as a single entity as long as they demonstrate that they've met that definition of collaboration that we just described in the previous slide. Next slide. So that, as I stated, that is the main work that we've done to the guidelines and application. So what we did last Friday was we sent an email out to all of our current applicants with information on next steps. So as you can imagine, those 48 applicants who made it through and were eligible and made it to the reviewers obviously had questions. We made sure as soon as we knew what was happening that we really did our best to make sure we told not only our board members, but the applicants and the reviewers. So that people just were aware as we were aware. And so we on Friday sent an application to our current applicants, letting them know that we would be re-releasing the application, and we wanted to wait and make sure that we got any feedback from our board and that you guys receive it, because we need to push it back out per city council direction. And so the plan is to release that RFP, which includes the guidelines and applications tomorrow. We let all of the current applicants know that they had two options. Option one was, because we didn't do much change, we didn't make many changes to the application itself, that they could allow us to keep the application. They could say, our application is wonderful, we did our best work initially, keep the application, we don't want to make any changes. And so that is fine, they don't have to do any extra work. But there may be some organizations, and we are asking those that want to remove their application from the process and possibly resubmit, they have to let us know that. So we're asking them to opt out, to tell us, remove my application, and that they will resubmit by the deadline. Someone may have, they may want to tweak their application, they may want to revise it, they may want to do a collaborative now, who knows what it is that they want to do. And so as stated, we have included the revised RFP as part of this this packet. Next slide. Some challenges that we are possibly anticipating, and we try to be very clear with those who put this on the council agenda, that there is in Article 15, Section 9 of the Charter, something that states that we have to encumber, which means kind of hold the funds, the $1.5 million, by July 1. But because our deadline is extended, we're doing the best we absolutely can with a June 1st deadline to try and move that along as quickly as possible to be able to encumber the funds. But you can't encumber funds for, you have to encumber funds associated with a vendor or a organization, and we won't be able to do that until awards are provided and are recommended by our board and then to our council. So that might, right now we're looking at later in July and not July 1, but we're trying to see if there's a way for us to move that date back to July 1 in terms of encumbrance. We also are anticipating that maybe some reviewers won't have the same time available. We're hoping that everyone stays with us to review these applications, but we don't know. And then finally, organizations not being able to access grant funding until later in the fiscal year. So we were really, the deadline that we had in place initially with our February deadline of application submission was hopefully in place to get us to a July 1 date for organizations to have access to their funds. Now that's going to be pushed out. And so we might be looking at August, kind of September deadline. Next slide. Some things that are beneficial, some things that, you know, we're excited about is that we may receive additional grant applications by the deadline from others that have, because they've had more time, new organizations, there may be more collaboratives that come in place. So we'll see what that looks like. We did not receive as many applications as we would have liked in three of the six areas, which are listed here: youth violence prevention, access to basic needs, or information guidance and case management. So this extra time may allow for us to get some additional applications in these critical areas. And then finally, we may receive some additional applications from those entities listed in Article 15, Section 5B, because now they don't have to apply as a collaborative, but they can apply as a single entity and really clearly demonstrate how they have collaborated with community-based organizations to make sure the needs of young people are met. Next slide. Here are the next steps. So we are here tonight to bring this information to our oversight board, make sure you know what the council direction that we received was, and we plan to release the application and the guidelines tomorrow, May 4th. We are going to have new, we call them pre-proposal workshops or technical application workshops on May 11th and 12th during the day. And they will be recorded so that people who could not attend can still benefit from the great information we're going to share. Organizations can still submit questions to us and get questions answered. So we are going to revamp our FAQs that are on the website. We will be reaching out once again to those who have said they want to be readers, maybe some that didn't say they want to be readers, so that we can gather our readers again. We're expecting more applications than we received the first time. So we might need a few more readers. So we're just hoping that people will stick with us. Our deadline per council was June 1st. And then we're really going to do our absolute best to move this along as quickly as possible so that we can evaluate and get proposal scores. That means our internal threshold review, along with the review by the panel members or the reviewers, to have that be done in June and July. Because council and our board usually takes a break in August, we really need both the board to provide a recommendation to city council and our city council to make to approve the recommendations from our board by the last meeting in July, because as stated, August is recess for our city council. And then that gives city staff time to work with all of the different organizations to enter into contracts. And we're hoping to disperse funding as early as possible in August or September. Next slide. That is it. Patrick, Guadalupe, or David, if I missed anything, if you want to stress anything, please do so. And I thank all of you for your patience and flexibility in this process, and for the questions that you've asked. And thank you again to staff. Patrick or David or Lupe?
Oh, I think that's good. I think the only thing I would add is that, obviously, as LaShonda said, we love to hear any feedback you have or questions. But ultimately, as it relates to your immediate next steps, it will be, once we receive the applications, we will be coming back probably with some updates at our next regular meeting. And just to tell you perhaps where we are, and your next major action for this issue will be to hear the recommendations from the readers and subcommittee members, and to then make a recommendation to council. So that is your next major action on this item.
Okay, David, can you go ahead and give our public forum announcement before we go on to questions or comments?
Yes, so as an announcement, attendees who would like to speak during public comment may now begin enlisting public comment by using the raise my hand feature to comment by video conference. You may click on the participants button at the bottom of your screen and select the raise your hand button. To comment by phone, you may prompt the raise your hand feature by pressing *9.
Thank you, David, for that. And so we have, I see two hands. I don't know which one went up first, but board member Hedstrom, you may continue with your question or your comment.
Thank you. I have a question because I scored a bunch of applications already. And my question is, LaShonda, are we expecting to have some of the people who applied to redo their applications and apply again? Do we know if that's going to happen? So that's the first thing. I mean, I'm just curious whether I'll have to rescore some of the ones I've already scored. Do you know?
That is a really good question. Oh, sorry. Did you want to ask your second question or do you want me to answer the first one? I apologize if I interrupted.
Oh, I think I just wanted to comment that I'd be happy to do more scoring. Whatever needs to be done. You can always count on me.
Well, thank you, Board Member Hextrom. We really appreciate that. And to answer your question, unfortunately, we don't know. So if because we're asking people to opt out, means that the applications that you have could be what is still here. People may say, I don't want to take anything back and I don't want to do anything extra. And so keep my application. And then therefore, if you've already scored some, great, because we're not changing the application in any way that people would have to resubmit. So we are asking applicants to make that decision for us. So we have a sense of how many applications are going to stay with us by the end of next week, I believe, the 13th of May. So we're asking organizations to let us know as soon as possible. And so we'll be able to provide that information to our reviewers later, but we will see. So there's a possibility that they might.
I just remembered my second question, which is I was so disappointed when I heard about this because so many of the programs that I was reviewing were for summer programs and they're not going to know if they're having funding till after they might, not be able to start their program. What's going to happen in that case if it's a summer program that was supposed to start in July, now they won't get funding till August. What do we know how that's going to impact these grants? Is there a way for them to get the money next year? Or, I don't know, it's confusing to me.
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And these are some of the things that we knew would come up if the application deadline was extended, but it is extended. We are asking, and I don't know, Patrick, if you have any update from legal yet, but we were asking our legal team is there a possibility that if a decision is made by the board and by council, just say late July, can those organizations, can they still get funding as of July 1? So knowing that some people want to have some summer programs started and maybe they have other funding. And that's another reason why we were asking and hoping that organizations weren't dependent on just us, because if they did have other funding, maybe they still could start their program and it's in July and they hear from us and they're able to just continue for their summer programming. So we, without Patrick, I'm just, did we hear back from legal yet? No. Oh, Patrick is still on. No. Okay, sorry. So we haven't heard back from legal. So we're trying to understand that better, Board Member Hegstrom, so that we can provide more direction to our applicants. But it is unfortunate that that may be the case, that they won't know, won't have funding come July 1, and then we will do our best to work with them to figure out if there's something we can do for next summer. And maybe extend the grant for that year or whatever, so that they can still have funding to do a summer program in the following summer. So there's some things we're gonna have to figure out, unfortunately.
So they won't get, they won't be penalized for having a summer program, even if half of it will be over by the time they get their funds. We'll still allow them to submit an application for this summer.
Patrick, I see Patrick.
That is the goal. So the reason we're asking for the legal opinion is because we know that there is likely to be this delay in being able to release funds. And so we want to just be certain that we aren't breaking any rules via the measure or the charter to give folks funding. So let's say we enter hypothetically, if this goes the way we anticipate it will, as far as a legal review, if we entered our contracts in late August or beginning of September, if they had started programming in July, they could still receive reimbursement for those programmings, because we'll ask for the start date of the contract to begin July 1, even though we won't have technically entered in, because it would be the beginning of the fiscal year, because we want to be able to make sure that programs that are supporting young people at the start of the fiscal year can hopefully access that funding. And so we just need to make sure that our interpretation of the language is correct before we move forward with that. And so we're likely to hear back from legal, my guess, tomorrow, just to be certain of that.
But we definitely, I just want to say, we will do our absolute best, yes, to work with organizations. You know, even if we have to prioritize those who have summer programs, we're going to enter into contracts with them first. Like, we're going to do it, whatever we need to do as staff to make this as seamless and helpful a process as possible.
Okay, thank you. So now we're moving on to Board Member Lobos, and then I see Board Member Castro Curry after her. So Board Member Lobos, you're...
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My question is about budgeting and the end of the fiscal year coming up, the end of June. And because I don't really understand, I'm just learning myself about the city budget. But I guess my concern is there's no way the fund is in any danger, I guess, is what I need reassurance on. I think I just am feeling that way because, you know, since so many things are going to be cashed out and there's so much worry around every year there's worry around the budget, but even more now because of COVID and all the needs for the community. So I just need reassurance from staff that there's no way city council or the mayor, anyone can say, oh, well, we just need that 1.5 for something else really that's an emergency in the community. So, and just take the money from the fund.
You have assurance that they cannot do that. So it's voter approved that starting in fiscal year 21-22, which starts July 1, that the city is mandated to set aside 1% of the general fund reserves in a special fund. And so that special fund is already set up. We already have a budget for what we are anticipating to be the 1%. That is a done deal. They cannot, regardless of what happens with the rest of the general fund budget, they cannot touch that 1%. So that's already included in the budget.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so now we'll move on to Board Member Diego Castro.
Yes, I do have some things to say. First of all, I'll be more than happy to continue my part on the review committee for for the grant applications. And second of all, this actually just occurred to me. So when I was scoring these sheets, I found out that most of these applicants, right, all the applicants combined make take up more money than what's supposed to be in that priority area, or possibly the entire fund in general. I only got a certain priority area, as everybody knows. And the thing that it kind of bothers me is that why are we going to stop this process for these applicants and hire even more, even though they cannot be fully funded the ways that they want to?
That is a really good, question. First, I want to thank you for agreeing to continue to be a reviewer. We really do appreciate that. And that is a good question. We've administered other grant applications, and I can't think of probably one grant application process where you don't get more requests for funding than you actually have funding available. And so I think what our council was wanting to see is for, especially from city departments, for there to be more applications to come forward from city departments for this funding source. And so it's going to, the more applications, even though there's only a small pot of money available, it's a competitive grant process. And so people will have, when you put your hat in the ring, you actually can compete. And so people there was a desire for more city departments to just put their hat in the ring. And so we know that it's gonna maybe make that decision a little harder, but we will have a better sense, I think, when you see more applications come forth, what is happening in terms of for city departments, for the school district, for other community-based organizations, what is actually happening in the realm of Richmond? What types of services are people already providing, wanting to provide? And it also just gives us a better sense once we have a fuller picture based on more applications, what's happening out there. And it helps us, I think, make better plans and think about next year and what we want to do and priority areas and if there's gaps. And so this is going to, I'm trying to be really positive. This is really going to help us get a better view of the landscape for what organizations are out there and what services they're providing and where we may need to do a little more outreach and work and capacity building. So it's going to be information for us, and it's going to be, I think, a tough decision. We have really great organizations, both public entities and community-based organizations that do great work and that want to be funded. And so it's going to be a hard decision for all of you reviewers.
Yeah, thank you. And also the second one is that I think this is based off, this is questions based off your board member Hegstrong's question about like those summer programs who want to be funded this summer but can't due to the delay. What about in the process, what about all those, how do I say this? When we started this process, wouldn't it seem like unfair for those committees who had to get their for these organizations had to get their applications in before February 22nd, wouldn't it be unfair that there would be more applicants that come in right now and who want money, and wouldn't they be like pushed aside because they came in earlier? This process, the delay, I spent like a lot of time working on this on the review committee, and it just seems unfair that we're pushing aside these great organizations for those who came in later.
Yeah, I completely hear you. I do want to, in Patrick or David or Lupe, feel free to chime in to make sure I hit all the points. One thing is I'm hoping that the majority of your work as reviewers, if you already were able to review some applications, is not in vain. So it might be that some or the majority of organizations say, keep my application. I did great work. I don't need to take it back. I don't need to make any changes. Therefore, if you've already scored that application, you're great. You don't have to rescore it. That's done. Okay. So that's what we're hoping for. And we'll have a better sense of that, at the end of next week. The other piece is, even though those organizations that those, 47, 48 organizations that made it through threshold and got their application in by the deadline, they won't be penalized at all in terms of how they are scored against the applications that come in by June 1st. So you're going to get, a reviewer is going to get, we may give you a few extra that came in. And so now you'll, instead of, your 10, you may have 12 that you need to review because they got two more that came into that category. So we really are asking for all our reviewers to score them all, in the same way, using the same criteria that has not changed in the application process. But, this will give some organizations time to submit maybe an additional application. It may give organizations time to update their application, and it might give organizations time to figure out, we want to do a collaborative. We've been talking about it. This gives us time to really pull something together with another organization to do something really great for Richmond residents. So we'll see how many more we get as of June 1st. But these are good points that you're making.
Okay, thank you. That'll be all for my questions.
Patrick or Lupe or David, for any questions that have been asked, if there's anything you want to add, please do so. Patrick, you were muted. I don't know if you had anything. No? Okay. But I do want to thank all of you for going along this journey with us. We didn't expect for the application to get, for council to direct us to reopen it. It is what happened. So we're following the direction of our city council, and we're going to make the absolute best of it. And just thank you all for your flexibility as we go into our first year. This is the first year, this application process.
Okay, do we have any more questions or comments on this item from any of our board members? I don't see any. I think my only comment is that I hopefully look forward to getting more applications that, in to be reviewed, because I think, we're extending it. That should be the outcome, that we're bombarded by all these, extra applications because we're giving them all this extra time. But also really taking into play, the information that we're getting. I think one of my biggest questions I think I've been asked since I've joined the board has been, what services are there in Richmond? What things, how are youth being served? How are the children being served? What organizations are we working with? And I think, this is the perfect timing to, start compiling some of that information, even through those RFPs of, what organizations are doing. And, hopefully somewhere down the line, we're able to produce something that we can, share out with the community on, where this money's going. And I think just to validate the work that we are doing on this board, to show that, there are services out there and making it easy and accessible for the community to be able to, tap into these, the services, and showing, good faith in, taxpayer money. And, so they can see that, we are doing our best. And I know the work has been really hard and there have been setbacks. But, I want to thank you guys for, pulling through it as well, because I think this has been really difficult, not just for us as board members, being on this first year ride. But I think as staff, you guys are doing a heck of a job, with every, thing that hits you guys, along the way. And you guys are really making it happen. I think these timelines, sometimes I get overwhelmed saying, looking at the timelines, and I'm like, and I'm not even doing half the work. So thank you to staff for, pulling through it and, helping the fund really get off on its feet. And, I'm excited. Like I said, hopefully we get a whole bunch of new applications in to be able to review, because I think that's, what the final outcome should be. And, you know, just the compiling of information mm-hmm. that we're getting, you know, that I think that's more my interest. You know, what information are we getting? You know, what organizations are actually, you know, applying? And, you know, what other resources can they tap into, you know, along the city of Richmond? So thank you for that. And I think now we'll move on to public comment. David, do we have any public comment?
We do not have any public comment.
So I think with that being said, okay, LaShonda.
I just wanted to thank you for your comment. I really appreciate it. We are doing our absolute best to support this board and roll with the different changes that we receive. And I am in complete agreement that I think that the more applications that we receive will really help us get a better landscape, like analysis, help us start that piece that we really want to do in terms of information gathering and being able to share and map services. It's going to help us do some of that work. So I'm just in agreement, and we're going to use the information that is gathered to really benefit the community. So thank you.
So anyone else, any final comments or questions before we adjourn this meeting? So I guess not. So I think, you know, it's time to adjourn this meeting at 6:44. You know, I thank all the board members. To our new board members, thank you for, you know, taking that leap of faith on us. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited. You know, I can't wait for, you know, things are starting to open up. So I can't wait to, you know, really start building on these promises that we, you know, put out there. And, you know, really start working on putting the funds out there. I think that's our goal, making sure that funding is out there and allocated to these organizations and to these projects that, you know, need to be out there, especially right now that they're more needed. You know, we're getting ready to hopefully exit out of this COVID, you know, sometime soon. And with things opening up, I think this is the perfect time to, you know, launch our project and really, you know, make sure that we're serving the community as best as we can. So thank you to all the board members, to our new board members, to our older ones, the ones that have been here, you know, along the way, and definitely to our staff. Thank you guys. You know, I really appreciate it. And I know, you know, all the other board members feel supported, and, you know, they appreciate the work that you guys are doing as well, for taking the time to always make sure that we get the information that we need to do the work that is intended. So thank you for that. And like I said, at 6:45, I'm adjourning the board meeting for the Richmond Children and Youth Oversight Board.